And that was Slater Kinney with Modern Girl from the album The Woods. Good morning. My name is Nick. This is To a Certain Degree on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. We do this every Monday from 7 to 9 a.m. And one thing we don't do every Monday is have a modern girl with us. And we have one today. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me, the modern girl. I
so
love that title.
Early. Yes, so that's going to be your title from now on. So you only have to talk in modern terms.
You I should have prepped more past. For this.
Can't live in the past, Sarah. So, Sarah, you're with us here from the First Academy.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming
out.
The
Royals.
A little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait. But first, we're going to play a game.
We love
this.
Games.
Great, because this is a really confusing one for a lot of people for some reason. So basically, I'm going to name off 10 things. We're going to do another 10 in the next hour. And you have to say whether you're pro or con. It's easy. But you have to say it the way that I've structured it. So what we call this game this week is the birds or the bees.
Mm.
Since you're a teacher and you deal with children, and so that's a good one. So if you agree with something, you say birds.
Okay.
Because birds are great. And if you don't agree with something, you say bees because bees are awful. So birds can do everything. They mm-hmm. can fly. They're delicious. There's nothing they can't do. Right? And bees, on the other hand, are stingy. They completely control us with the whole pollination thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like if they disappear,
we're disappear,
toast.
Right?
Yeah. So who likes them? Nobody. That's mm-hmm. the.
My daughter
terrible.
Does actually. I have to say because she's obsessed with Winnie the Pooh. But other than her, definitely nobody.
Oh, so she's just stealing the honey. Mm-hmm. She's into that. Okay,
she is
got
into
it.
That.
Okay, so birds up, bees down.
Got
Ready?
It.
Okay, pool baths.
Bees.
No to the pool bath.
Yeah.
Just jump in like, oh, I got to go to this thing. I got to go
totally
to this wedding.
I totally judge the people that do that.
Okay. Well, that
I
would
can
be...
tell, you know, when they come off the beach and they're all sandy and then they jump in the pool.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that's me. How about millennials?
Birds.
Birds. You like them?
I have to. I'm leading them.
Okay. Fair enough. LASIK eye surgery.
Birds, but I don't know too much about it. I know some people have had it and have had great results. So I would say birds. I'm not one of them, though.
Would you get it?
If I needed to, I think so.
Okay, shoot lasers. You probably have perfect vision, huh?
No. Reading glasses.
Yeah, that's not
too I try and get the cool ones, though, being a modern girl.
These are, nice. These are, my glasses can see through, like, time and space. That's how thick they are. How about liberal arts colleges?
Birds.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, because you went to Stetson, right?
I went to Stetson for my graduate degree, master's,
we'll
and so absolutely.
Yeah, how about college in general?
Oh, definitely birds.
Definitely birds.
Definitely birds. A huge support of college.
You're a huge bird fan.
I'm a huge bird fan.
Okay, great. And comic book movies?
Bees.
Bees? Not so much?
Not so much a fan.
Yeah.
No.
With all the comic books you read as a kid?
I know you'd think, right?
Yeah.
But just seeing them live, it's just not as good as on the pages for sure.
Right. Yeah. And they take a lot of liberties with the costumes. Mm-hmm. I know you're a traditionalist when it comes to the costumes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a time you didn't bring up spandex.
Very true.
Yeah.
So I know. And many of our conversations with instructional design, spandex definitely came up.
Yeah. Yeah. Teaching, children. Okay. Never mind. Let's move on. Reviewing resumes. How do you like that?
I would say birds.
Oh, really?
I think the hiring process is interesting and I like meeting new people. And so I would say birds. Okay. And I love to see how people can get creative with it too and what they choose to highlight about themselves. So
what's the best thing you've ever seen in a resume or a cover letter?
Chevron.
Wait, what?
Chevron. I had a teacher once submit a resume and it had like beautiful chevron around the edges and it was so organized. And I was like, wow, chevron on a resume. Who would have thought?
Oh, did you hire that person?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what it gets you. How about taking a cruise?
Bees.
Yeah.
I'm not a cruise fan. My husband and I did a cruise once. And first of all, we showed up late. So we didn't even make it on the boat. So then we tried again for a second time and it was just rough seas. We didn't even get to port one of the days and it was just not for me, not a cruiser.
I always felt like the port thing to me, like I'd want to go on a cruise and just be out at sea. right? Because it's a, it's basically a floating hotel.
Right.
The challenge I have is with the port thing is that, you know, you have to be back at a certain point. You have no control over that. The boat will leave without you.
Very true.
And it makes me super paranoid. Like, I would take 10 steps off of the boat and I'd be like, I don't have time. I got to go back.
Yes. I did have that feeling too. We went on one excursion.
Yeah.
And I did feel like I was always like, okay, well, we're going to get back in time. Right. But what made me feel better is when you're with 25 other people from the boat, when you travel in packs.
Chances
I just probably
are,
wouldn't do an excursion by myself, but I'm such a get there, explore vacationer. I'm not a travel on the high seas.
Okay. That's good. So you're not much of a pirate then either.
No.
I think that's probably for the best.
More of a land girl.
Mm-hmm. More of a land robber.
Right.
So highways and high women.
Mm-hmm. No.
High women. Well, that doesn't make any sense either. Okay. How about jerky?
Oh, bees.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
You like bee jerky? What?
No.
I get it.
Not that either. But yeah, I'm just not like a Slim Jim girl. You know, I'd much rather have the fresh, I think, you know.
Just the steak.
Yeah, the steak.
Rather than the dried
fish.
Up.
I'm a big fish eater.
Okay, so fish jerky is not a thing for you?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's fine. And how about last but not least, reading on a tablet?
Oh, birds.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not too many people are into that.
You know, I do love to read, and I can definitely see why you would favor the book over the tablet, but I'm one of those people that doesn't plan ahead on vacations with what I'm going to read. So being able to just download something right away in the airport before I fly is
like,
a huge plus.
I forgot all those books. I don't want to spend $28.99.
Right. And they're
on
so
the
big. Like, I go to the, you know, airport bookstore and I'm like, I can't lug another, you know, 10 pounds. I have my daughter, my husband.
You're lugging
a stroller.
Both of those too. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, my husband, he takes up the whole stroller. So then I have to carry my daughter too, you know, so it's a lot.
How old? So your daughter's less than 2 years old.
She is.
How old before she can become the sort of pack mule and you could just give her all the books and stuff to carry around?
Well, we have started giving her a little book bag.
Yep.
And so soon we'll transition her to the rolling book bag and then off she goes. You know, I'd say at least another year. She's 17 months old. So I'd say by 2.5, she should probably start
Sherpa school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So that's great. Very nice. You survived birds or the bees. So we'll do that again next hour. So let me just try to sum up you in a nutshell and you jump in because you're probably better at this than me. But you taught here locally at Orlando or Orange County Public Schools for 5 years about elementary school.
Yes.
Very nice. And that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
So you were one of the teachers. I don't think you ever taught either of my...
I taught at Princeton, but when your kids were there, I was the curriculum and instructional coach.
That's right. Yes. And you did that and were assistant principal for another 5 years.
3 years.
Oh, 3 years for assistant principal and curriculum and instructional coach for a couple... What is a curriculum and instructional coach?
Everything and anything.
So you just wore all the hats.
You wear all the hats. And it does depend on each school, truly. Yeah. But, you know, it was a great leadership experience. Princeton Elementary at the time didn't have an assistant principal. So I really got to see if it was something I wanted to jump right into. And so I did anything from new teacher coaching to curriculum ordering to trainings, professional development. It was a great getting my feet wet into what was to come, truly. I don't know if I hadn't had that role, if I would be sitting in the position I'm in right now.
So you switched over to assistant principal at a different school, and now you're at the First Academy. So you've gone from the public school system to the private school system.
Correct.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that transition because I'm very interested in hearing a little bit more about that and what the differences are. Because I think as a parent, you know, you have that debate at some point and whether it's financial or whatever the circumstances are that prevent you from taking that step. You know, what is it about that? Mm-hmm. What are the advantages, disadvantages? What's the pros? What's the cons? Those sorts of things.
Lots of pros.
Yeah. And you've been there for a couple of years now, right?
I just completed my first year.
Oh,
a little bit
year.
Over
okay.
a year now. Yeah. So.
And over there, your role is Is it director or principal of the extended educational programs?
It was principal, but okay. I'm now director of extended educational programs.
Got it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. And then from an education background, I thought this was interesting as well. You have your BA from Penn State, decided it was too cold up there.
Absolutely.
And moved down here. Understandable.
Teach at the Beach was their logo when they were recruiting teachers from up north. And so I came down here with a couple girlfriends to teach, and I wanted to go to grad school at UCF. I had a professor at Penn State who encouraged me to go there next. She was transitioning down and said it was a great educational school and teach at the beach, but the beach is not as close as they said it was going to be at the recruiting fair.
No, it's much closer than if you're in Pennsylvania.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Significantly closer. So you ended up with two master's degrees.
I did.
So you went to UCF first and then you went to Stetson. And what I was curious about there is, did you always have that in mind when you were doing elementary? Because you did elementary ed in, at Penn State,
I
right?
did. I think I always knew I wanted to go into something a little bit more outside the classroom. I just didn't know what. And so when I first got my master's in curriculum and instructional design, I did it because I wanted to become a better teacher and I wanted to be able to coach other teachers. And then the further I progressed into my role in the classroom, I just naturally tend to help others. Mm-hmm. And so I would step outside the classroom, and you know how you get voluntold to do a lot of things when they see people who are willing and able to help. And then that's how I naturally progressed into the leadership in education. I took a stint one summer with Sarah Brady Public Relations in Winter Park. And it was really a summer for me to decide, am I going to move completely forward with leadership in education, or am I going to go a completely different route and step out of education? I was just really kind of at a crossroads.
Yeah.
And I loved what I did with Sarah Brady Public Relations. But I think when you have other experiences outside of your current world, it really reinforces where you want to go. And I left that summer knowing, you know, it was going to be full steam ahead. So I enrolled in Stetson's program and haven't looked back.
So one last question. We're going to play some more music. So from what I understand in the state of Florida, there's really no other than if teachers want to get better at what they do, there's really no financial advantage to getting a master's degree.
That's so true.
So, and you got two.
Mm-hmm.
So you decided early on, like, what exactly, you kind of summed it up, but what would you say to somebody who's looking at getting another master's degree right now or getting a master's degree, why they should do it if they're a teacher?
I think when you go into education initially, you're definitely not going into it for the money. So if you're already in that world, you're already kind of coming to grasp with that and realizing that it's not a moneymaker. But I think too, if you're going to a master's degree, it's because you want to better what you're doing, basically. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of an education master's degree is that it's because it's for the betterment of your career. It's not because you're necessarily trying to get further or make more money. It's because you want to get better at what you're doing every single day. And so I would encourage teachers to get a master's degree just to keep on learning. The beauty of the current education system is professional development is really fostered and supported. And so it's just one more way to continue that. And there's so many different outlets too that are a little bit more cost efficient. I know when I did my second master's, it was because Orange County had a partnership with Stetson that made it much more financially savvy than if I had done it independently. Gotcha. So I would encourage them to be smart about it too. Don't go into debt for a master's where you're only going to be making a little bit more a year, but do it wisely and do it in something that you're passionate and excited about, and maybe think long term. You know, if I look back, I wish I had gotten, you know, my first master's maybe in something more specific like reading or writing, so that if I did want to go on to the college level one day, I would have had that, you know, under my belt. So I think take your time and make sure it's what you definitely want to do.
Do your homework.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Sage advice for teachers everywhere.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Okay. So we're going to play a song. This is Sam Roberts on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. This is To a Certain Degree. My name is Nick, as I mentioned before, and I've got a special guest here, Sarah Donovan.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Everyone.
All the people.
Everyone out there at 7:30 a.m.
I keep forgetting that people are actually listening sometimes. So it's, you know, usually it's just a conversation with us, Sarah. Well, just me and you here.
I text a couple friends and colleagues, and I'm getting text streams as I talk on their comments on my comments.
Oh,
so it's been interesting.
Oh, has anybody corrected you yet? I don't have any fact yes. checkers. So that's probably
just
a good
corrected
idea.
My opinions, not necessarily facts.
So Sarah, thanks again for being here.
Absolutely.
You are here sort of as I'm going to say an education expert. I know you're not necessarily an education expert, but as a
some
teacher
days.
In Orange County Public Schools and now an administrator at mm-hmm. the First Academy, you know, you're someone I look to for opinions on what's going on in education.
I appreciate that.
So, yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. So it's easy to sort of pile on education, especially K through 12, especially the state system.
Mm-hmm.
So there's grades that come out, national, local, all that stuff when, mm-hmm. you know, you really have, and if you have kids in school, you see that these are, you know, men and women that are really trying hard to make sure that these kids have every break that they can.
Definitely.
And so I've got an almost 13-year-old and almost 10-year-old, and they're both in public school. So I see this a lot. So in your opinion, where is Orlando right now? And where is Central Florida? Where is Florida in general?
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, it's been a year since I've been out of the public sector and things are moving fast in education. And so my take is going to be a year ago, which might not seem that long ago, but with how quickly things are moving, it's interesting to see. I have friends that are still teachers in the public world and how things just even in a year can shift. And so when I left the public sector, the big emphasis was on the new state test and going through the new state test. And so I would say that there's definitely, you know, highlights of positive going on in the classroom. You're walking around in public schools and children are learning and teachers are teaching. And mm-hmm. that's the most important part. I think the part to emphasize is how well that's going on, basically. And so you're going to have those teachers that have a mandate of a state test and regardless of that are still going to teach to the child and are still going to go outside the box. I think that's what we're looking for, is teachers that can think outside the box. So you're given this list of what you have to teach. How are you going to do it and getting creative with it? But the reality is a lot of teachers are leaving and the strong ones are leaving, which is the scary part for me, I think, about public education is the retention rate for those good teachers. And so if you're lucky enough for your child to have a really strong teacher, then it doesn't matter. It's really in the teacher and making the difference for the child. And so it really comes down to that. And so I would say for the public sector to really focus on keeping the good ones mm-hmm. As much as possible. But, you know, children are graduating. Children are going to college. We've got IB programs in the public sector. There's a lot of things to be proud of in the public sector. I went on to the private sector, obviously, and for good reason, I think, for what I was looking for in my career and for my daughter. But I would say that the things that you see on media are media. And so I would say look at your local school and see what you can do to invest in that school. Parental support is obviously the biggest thing. One of the biggest things you can do is the more parents help, the healthier school will be.
So get in, get to know, even before your kid gets there.
Right.
Go in and get to know them and try to figure out.
I mean, your house value is based on it. So it's based, you know, it's a great investment for you to.
It's a good point.
You know, to have too is, you know, we live, you know, it's very different. I came from Pennsylvania where your school district was your local town, you know, within those lines. And here in Florida, it's a county. We have huge districts. And so, you know, you're zoned for a certain school. And so investing in that school, investing in that community can have huge pluses, not only for your children, but for you financially with your home too.
So one thing, and I sent you the link to this, I think it was Mississippi, where they're actually speaking of parents. They are implementing a new rule where they're going to actually start grading the parents. So when kids get a report card going home, there's going to be a grade for their parents on there as well. Now, this is interesting because I think that maybe getting people to get involved, to be more involved, and maybe making it a little bit of a competition is kind of interesting. This reminds me a little bit of at church when I was a kid. Church was, you know, very big for Greek Orthodox. It was basically the central part of our community. And this was over in Daytona Beach. A new priest came in, and what he did in trying to get people to compete with each other was on the back of the monthly newsletter was put what everybody's donations were for the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
no secrets there.
That really got people competing. And so that's kind of what it reminded me of at first. But you know, there's so many subjective things that you could base mm-hmm. grades off of, especially for parents.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that's the best way to get them involved or get them thinking about this stuff. So maybe if we could just get them in and sit in a classroom and just grade them.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
or do tests.
I love that attention is being brought to parental support. I don't know if this is the best method for them to, you know, encourage parental involvement, but I definitely think it's worth taking the time to draw attention to. You know, I'm a firm believer that it's the tri-efforts of the student, the school, and the parent that mm-hmm. equals success. You're going to have those anomalies where a kid had no parental support and they went on to become, you know,
president.
A huge
yep.
surgeon. Exactly. Yep. But the reality is most students need all of that support to be successful. So I love that they're drawing attention to it, because I know coming from a myriad of schools where there was parental support, it was strong. The school was strong. Where parental support was lacking, there are a lot of holes that the teachers and faculty and administration try and fill in, but we can't be with the kids 24/7. So we have to trust that when they go home, they're getting what they need to come back the next day to be prepared. And so I think it's definitely worth sparking those conversations. And I love that those conversations are starting about parental support, because I think one of the reasons we're losing valuable teachers is because there's a lot on their plates. You know, they're the teacher, they're the nurse, they're the confidant, they're the counselor. They're filling a lot of roles. And unfortunately, they can't fill parent too.
Right.
There's just not enough time in the day. And so we need for some of those parents to really step up. You can't expect to drop your kid off at school and for them to get 100% of what they need.
Right. Well, what I think is interesting too about it is if parents start pushing back on something like this, like a rating system for parents,
right,
as being difficult to try to figure out what the, you know, what are all the characteristics that you're grading and all that, mm-hmm. it kind of sparks that same conversation about, okay, so how do we grade teachers then? How do we grade the schools then? Because,
right.
And the students to an extent. I mean, we all kind of pile on standardized testing.
Mm-hmm.
My son Miller, we've, you know, kept him out these last couple of years on the standardized testing because there's really, you can.
He's still going to go to college, or
yeah,
he's still going to go to trade school wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
Right. Right. He'll survive.
And if he doesn't go to college, he's going to be fine.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
Not college isn't necessarily for everyone. So I think that's a great way. Yeah. So you put it a great way. It's a good way to get the conversation started around that.
Right. My concern would be, you know, just making sure that healthy relationship is fostered between the teacher and the parent. So, you know, I think that teachers are working so hard to already foster that because of all the bad stigmas, which is sad, but just that next, you know, proponent of them grading the parents too.
Oh my gosh, that could go so wrong for a teacher, right? Like
exactly.
Even if you give them a B, if they're some sort of overachieving parent.
Right,
they
exactly. You know, and so I think about too, like the number of conferences these teachers are going to have, not about the kids, but about the parents
right.
afterwards, you know,
right.
after the release of the report cards, usually get a couple come in that are like, I'm really surprised by this grade. Well, now it's going to be, I'm really surprised by my grade and tell me why I, you know, deserve a C rather than an A.
Right, right.
So.
And instead of doing better, what they're going to do is argue you everything
right,
they've
exactly,
already done.
Exactly.
Oh, parents. And good morning. My name is Nick. You are listening to WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. And my special guest this morning is Sarah Donovan. Good morning again, Sarah.
Good morning.
So we do this from 7 to 9 every Monday. Well, I do this. Sarah is a special guest and actually has a job, so she could probably not do this.
I do. I hope my boss isn't listening.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm in car line right now, but
okay,
that's
good.
Okay.
Good, good, good. So Sarah is the Director of Extended Educational Programs at the First Academy, is a former teacher, assistant principal at OCPS.
Mm-hmm.
So really appreciate you being here this morning. Talk a little bit about teaching and students and those sorts of things.
My favorite topics.
Good, good. Well, that's good. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, my kids watch so much YouTube. That it's
yes.
Possibly insane.
Yes.
Possibly something, you know, we should look into and stop is the screen time. But one of the things I like about it, especially the homemade stuff that they watch. So people playing video games mm-hmm. or making their own videos about things in history.
The how-tos.
Yeah, the how-tos to an extent. So, you know, one thing that struck me in talking to you this morning is, what do kids need to learn about to get them prepared for the jobs of the future?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, one of the big ones is being able to be a digital storyteller. Is you don't have to be an expert videographer.
I love that.
You don't have to be able to edit everything, but you have to be able to go on camera. You have to be able to record stuff. You have to be able to research stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's the best videos that are out there, or the most compelling videos that are out there, are not just somebody spewing their ideas and their opinions. Mm-hmm. It's going to have some research behind it.
Definitely. Well, I think that's such a valid point and really insightful. You know, my daughter being really young and not in that stage yet, one of my principals, her son, when he comes into her office at the end of the day, he is always on YouTube and it's always how to's. And I always thought that was so intriguing. You know, it's not like he's watching a movie or a TV show. He's watching how to create a Lego set. Mm-hmm. And so I think that creating problem solvers is going to be our biggest investment for the next generation. We are really preparing students for a world that is not yet here. Right. Even next year, who knows what the next great thing's going to be. And we're preparing them for careers that haven't probably even been, you know, aren't even out there yet. And so I think problem solving skills are huge for our next generation, and not letting them be stopped by barriers. So continuing to have that drive and that perseverance. I think perseverance is huge too, to go above it. And I think that digital storytelling is a big part of that, because you're seeing something all the way through and down to the editing point of view too. And I think right. the biggest thing we can do to prepare students for that is to model it. Modeling for our students, I can't say enough about the importance of that. And just showing them what you do in your everyday life or in your professional life to prepare. When I had students, it was all about PowerPoints. So we used one PowerPoint. You know, everyone do a PowerPoint and then we'll show our presentation. Well, when you look up digital storytelling, there's over, I think, you know, 100 ways you could do digital storytelling, or thousands. Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't even know. I'm not that up to date in my digital storytelling. But, you know, giving students the freedom to choose how they want to tell their story, but then modeling for them how you're telling your story through digital storytelling. So are you on a blog? Are you, you know, doing radio shows? Are you, you know, doing something out there to put yourself out there to tell your own story? One of the reasons I think everyone loves the Apple commercials is because it's storytelling, you know? I mean, that's what draws you in, is they're telling a story, they're putting great music to it, and there's pictures too. And so I think showing students examples of those and, you know, sprinkling them in throughout their, you know, K through 12 former educational years is the best way that we can do it. And I think that schools are definitely getting better at that. You know, doing a little shout out for TFA. We have an incredible tech team and they're one of the biggest investments we have. And it's because we want to prepare these students for this digital era, you know? Right. And so I can't emphasize enough how much the technology and digital stage is going to be huge for, any student, because no matter what you're going into, you're going to have to problem solve through some type of digital component or through some type of platform. And so kind of coming full circle to the digital storytelling, I think modeling it yourself as a teacher, as an administrator, as a school is the best way to show students how to do it and the importance of it.
Because I just got to confess, when you first started talking about modeling, I did think the Barbizon school for a second, but that's not what you're talking about. But what about, so what about the foundations of it, though, is, you know, research logic and sort of the plot points, right? Like if you're going to tell a story, it's got to have a beginning, middle and end. So how do you get that across to students necessarily?
I think walking them through the process, you know, as much as possible, and really probably holding their hand through the teaching process with them. And so I think showing them something that they're how to do it in a way that they're passionate about it too. And so a student's going to be much more motivated if they're interested in it. Mm-hmm. And so find what their interests are and then plug into that. So if a child is really interested in cars, well, we're going to do a digital storytelling on cars. And I need you to research the fastest car and, you know, what speedways do they compete on? And, you know, taking clips from that and then going into creating a story. And I think starting with the end in mind is huge. Like at the end of this, what do you want your audience to feel? What do you want your audience to know? And then beginning with that, with the students.
I think another good one is the family history, because I think that, you know, I'm getting my parents, my grandparents are getting up there. And so I feel guilty that I don't know a lot of stuff about my parents. So I think this is a good way for them to tell their story without me having to confess that I don't know it.
That's a great
idea. So I could go, oh, yeah, Miller, go and ask, you know, your grandfather about this stuff or this thing. It was funny. He was talking to his grandfather yesterday, as a matter of fact, and my grandfather or my father likes to tell some tall tales. on occasion. And I listen. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. That totally happened. Yeah.
Big
and
fish a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. And Miller will go, yeah, I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
Miller is the wonderful skeptic and all that. So.
Well, being 13 kind of comes with the territory a little bit. Yeah.
Well, let's switch topics for a second. So one thing I do, and we're coming up on the end of the first hour, so this is going
it's gone fast.
Quickly, right.
This is
yeah,
fun.
So thank you. Yeah, it is. Of course, it's my show. One thing we talk about here on To a Certain Degree is stuff that's going on in pop culture. So I wanted to kind of take this in a little bit of a different direction since I have you here, former teacher in education. I wanted to see if we could talk a little bit about the teachable moments from some of the things that happened this week.
There's a lot of things going on.
There's a lot of things. So I just have three things.
Sure.
And I think they're fairly interesting, but the big one I think that everybody was talking about was Ryan Lochte and this whole exaggeration over the Olympics. And so how much trouble and what kind of microscope he was under when all this happened. So just to sum up real quick, it looks like he and several other swimmers were coming back from a party.
Mm-hmm.
They were inebriated. They got into a scuffle with possibly security at a gas station after vandalizing the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, should I just say allegedly to all this, because we're not sure exactly what happened.
Right.
And then made up a story about it.
Right.
Kind of over-exaggerated what happened. So there may have been a gun involved, but nobody pulled a gun on him and put it up to his head. And so he made himself out to be a little bit of a hero here.
Right.
So if, what would you say in this circumstance, if you were talking to a student about it, if somebody came up and asked you about it?
I think the biggest thing is being under the influence. I think it's definitely a teachable moment for that. Look at this amazing athlete who has, you know, just accomplished something that millions would only dream of. And he threw it all away in one night after going above and beyond with alcohol, basically, and partying. And so I think there's definitely a teachable moment in that, as you can be the most focused person and then all of a sudden throw it all away in one night. I think the fact that he went blonde might have something to do with it. No, I'm teasing. I'm blonde, so.
Oh, so you can say that.
But, and I think also just the fabrication. Look how far it went. And I think just the focus on him not telling the truth from the start really hurt him in the end.
Right.
I mean, and I think to letting students know too, these athletes, you know, those are in high school and can understand, they don't make their money or their career off of an Olympic gold. You know, they don't cash that in for a huge monetary value, but they make it off of endorsements. And so
your reputation
and being able to have, you know, a strong future is in all of those endorsements. And so teaching students that you can throw everything away in just one, you know, hot moment of a bad choice.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, good.
Yeah.
So there's another one I wanted to talk about, and this is more on cultural sensitivity. So there's a new movie coming out called Arrival. It's about aliens coming to the Earth. And
right.
So, of course, it's sci-fi, so I'm going to watch
it.
But what was interesting about this is the plot point is that there's these 12 ships that come down, almost like Independence Day, right? And they're over these certain areas. So in the poster, they completely Paramount is the movie a company that made this. They kind of messed it up. So they were showing Hong Kong in the background. So one of the ships is over, say, the Pacific Ocean. One of them is over Utah. One of them is over Hong Kong for some reason.
Utah and Hong Kong.
Yeah,
I mean, that goes hand in hand.
Just so cosmopolitan. But what happened was they put in the Hong Kong skyline, somebody photoshopped in one of the buildings from Shanghai. And so it was this big controversy because Hong Kong is always, even though it's part of China again, still feels like it's separate. And they were trying to do this weird thing where they were trying to appeal to more of a China market.
Okay.
So to fix it, what they did was they went in and just did Shanghai now. Now I don't even know if in the movie where the alien ship is. So this is bothering me is like somebody who's going to go see the movie, like, where is the darn thing?
Right.
And so, but
that's
I thought
stressful.
It was, well, everything's stressful for me when it comes to sci-fi movies. Like I had to watch all of Stranger Things because I didn't know what the heck was going on there. But, you know, from a cultural sensitivity standpoint, we always kind of mess these things up, right? Like we cast actors in roles that should have been
And you think we'd get the swing of it by now.
You would think it comes up all the time.
All the time. And so shouldn't someone have the role of just checking on that? You know, I mean, is there a role? I don't watch the credits at the end of the movie, but I don't know if there's like a cultural sensitivity.
There should be.
Position, but there definitely should be.
Well, they definitely weren't involved at the beginning.
Right. Right.
So
I mean,
what would you say? So I might try to have a conversation with Miller or Callie about this and what the importance is. What would you say to somebody, a student of yours?
Right. Well, I think I would say, you know, what are you proud about in Orlando? And I think Disney would probably come up, or, you know, Universal Studios were tourist area, you know, and you're always proud of your hometown or where you're from, you know, because it's a part of you. It helped create you. So I think tapping into that with students would be my first step, you know, maybe making a list of what are you proud of from where you're from. And then think about, okay, so there's students all across the world that are proud of where they're from. So when it's represented incorrectly, it would be really confusing. And also you kind of get that, you know, pull at your heart, like, well, that's my town, you know, that's not what it looks like. And that's not where I live. I think, you know, maybe saying to students, imagine that they put Disney World in the middle of Texas, you know, wouldn't it be so weird to see it there? That's not where it belongs. And so I think kind of giving them that analogy of what if they did this with pieces of Orlando and put it in New York City? And you start to get that, you know, that's my space. That's my territory,
right.
You know?
That's great.
I think I would go that route.
That's way better than what I had. I had nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I had nothing planned. So I'm
well,
totally
you better
that.
Prepare for that conversation because I'm sure it's going to come up soon.
Oh yeah, for sure. So there's one other story, and I don't think there's much of a teachable moment here. I just thought it was pretty interesting. Uber, actually over the weekend, was testing self-driving cars.
I heard that in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. But isn't there still a driver behind the seat? That's what I don't get. How does that work?
They have somebody still in the car because for the most part, if a car just pulls up and there's nobody in it.
Right.
You know, I think in Total Recall, even the movie with Arnold, the original one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, remember when the taxi came up and there was the robot? Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Yeah. So you still, I think there's going to be this transition period where we still have to feel comfortable with the self-driving car, especially after the story of the
there's
Tesla.
There's a crash,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, somebody passed away because of the ability to do that. So, yeah, so I think, I guess from a not necessarily a teachable moment, but I'm just thinking about kids, there's still some technology that they're going to have to get used to, right? Like we're talking about them growing up in this sort of digital age and being digital natives. But there's still a ton of technology that they're going to have to adopt.
Right.
And self-driving cars is going to be a big one culturally and, you know, just I think psychologically.
Yeah. And just that feeling of being safe, you know, which we all need at all times.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how that transpires for sure in terms of not having a driver behind the seat or having someone digitally driving. But I think just like anything else, you know, the next generation, it's going to be all they know. And so while we're going to be old and getting, you know, picked up from Publix.
Well, maybe
and,
you are.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it'll freak
Don't
us out.
Don't let me into this.
Yeah.
I'm all in on the driverless car because I can take a nap.
Well, when I'm old getting picked up from Publix by a driverless car, I think it'll definitely, you know, I don't think it'll sit easy with me, honestly, no matter how much I might. You know, say we need to be up in the digital era, and I'm a huge supporter of that. That will still, I think, always feel weird for me. But for the younger ones coming up, if that's all they know, then
great.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So on that note, let's play a little rat-a-tat, mi viejo, which I think means my old man. So that seems
appropriate. Do you want me to translate that on my phone?
No. I think that's what it means. You're going to hear that on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. Buddy Guy on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the best in basement radio and the voice of Rollins College. Welcome to the second hour of To a Certain Degree. My name is Nick. I'll be your host. And my guest will be my guest.
Yes.
Hi, Sarah. Sarah
be
Donovan
guest,
is here.
Be your guest. Reminds me of Beauty and the Beast.
All right.
Yeah.
Calm down there. You don't have to live up to that sparkly image.
I'm on full coffee mode now, so
yeah.
Watch out for the next hour.
All right. Well, let's get to know you a little bit more. We're going to play some more The Birds or the Bees.
Great.
And so just a quick reminder, bees are mean-spirited. They deal in a lot of onomatopoeia, which I'm not behind at all. I don't care for that.
Right.
Buzzing.
Right. No.
Honey is, I'm not even sure what honey is.
Yeah.
It's
kind of good for you.
Maybe.
Allergies.
Sure. Meanwhile, birds are amazing. They are super cute. When they land and they walk around, have you ever
right.
seen
them? Right. Yeah.
And they're at pet stores. How many bees can say that?
That's true.
Zero.
That's true. No, we do need more bees, though. I'll have to do a little plug-in for bees. You know,
for the purposes
tree hugger
of this,
moment, fine. We need more bees.
Fine. Okay. Birds or bees.
Okay.
So when you like something, say birds. When you don't like something, say bees.
Got it.
And if I feel like you're having a very particularly visceral reaction to something, we're going to talk about that. All right. Starting off, 80s nostalgia.
Oh, birds.
Birds.
I'm an 80s child.
Oh, boy.
Which means I was a child during the 80s, so having nostalgia for some of the things is not really
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
You
but,
know,
I mean, I'm talking about like the everything,
the movies.
The
movies, though. I mean, you can't beat the 80s movies. Like, I still love that they're on Saturday mornings in the wintertime. Breakfast Club, 16 Candles.
All right, John.
St. Elmo's Fire. I mean, really, 80s
all right,
movies.
So I feel like I know the answer to the next one then. Theme parks.
Birds.
Yep.
I actually went to SeaWorld with my daughter for the first time on Saturday. Her first time, mine.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting her used
acclimated
to the theme park world.
So that's how she's 17 months. So that's how you're teaching her how to swim. Did you just throw her into the dolphin pool or?
Yeah, you know, we took a little jab at the big one, you know, the One World with Shamu and all of that.
Yeah.
But I could just tell right away she just wasn't ready.
Wasn't ready for that
one.
So just go with the dolphins.
Probably
for
next
now.
Trip. Just the dolphins for now.
Yeah, maybe
they're
seals.
They're cute
next time.
And yeah, penguins. It's all good.
How about professional wrestling?
Oh, bees.
Bees?
Yeah.
Not so much.
I am not a wrestling fan. Yeah, I just don't get the lore of it when you know it's fake.
It's
or a
fake?
Professional, I
Wait,
guess.
What?
Is which one's fake? Isn't there a fake one? They're not all real. Come on.
Everything's real to me. If it's on TV, it's
okay.
Real.
Okay. Well, do we have to have the Santa conversation
we
too?
We may have
or?
To. Yeah, okay. Yeah. How about, okay, so the DIY soda, like you put the stuff
bees.
In.
Oh, bees.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I'm
just
not
go to
really
the store.
Yeah, just get some
I'm not
soda.
A DIYer. DIYer. Sorry.
In anything.
DIYer. I always feel like it's so much effort. And by the time I buy all the things and put everything together, I spend more money or take more time.
Time is valuable.
It's very valuable.
Yeah.
I don't have the time for it.
So you're not scrapbooking?
No.
Okay. That was a good face.
I'm barely remembering to upload my photos.
Bees all the way down.
Snapfish, yeah.
Okay. Talking politics with family.
Bees.
Yeah.
It's just not worth the hassle. And again, it comes back to that time thing. Like my time with my family is so valuable that.
Why would you bother
why
having
bother?
That argument?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. How about coffee?
Oh, birds.
Big birds.
Big birds. I don't know how people survive without coffee, honestly. I like lift people up on a pedestal that can live without coffee because I'm like, how do you make it through
it's
your
pretty,
day?
Yeah, it's pretty you interesting. Know? I used to not drink coffee. I used to not drink too. And then I started and then I was like, oh, well, this is better.
Right.
Yeah. Same thing with coffee.
Oh. Sorry, I thought we were still on the coffee track.
Oh, yeah, we were. Speaking of things you can drink, how about shampoo and conditioner in one? The combined
bees
you need it separated.
I mean, I see the point of it and maybe boys can get away with it, but nowadays for girls we have so many choices for our hair types and I have thin hair, so I need like the volume boost times 100 jug of conditioner and shampoo separately, so I can't do the one and done doesn't work for my hair.
Yeah,
so I have to totally do separate.
It's a time saving when you have as much hair as I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about my back.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I have to do the combined one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was.
That's a good
vivid.
One. Birds and bees.
Birds and bees.
For
flip flops.
Birds, because I live in Florida.
That was a hesitant bird,
yeah,
though.
Because I think with flip-flops, there's so many different versions now. Like, if you're talking about the flip-flop showers that I wore in college, bees.
Okay.
But if you're talking about, like, the cute, trendy ones that I got at Target last weekend, then birds.
Okay, well, let's talk
so
about
depends.
Those, then.
The cute,
so,
trendy ones, definitely birds.
Yeah, because that's what I wear.
Right.
Yeah, I like to take them
they
home.
They look good.
Well, I'm wearing them right now. What I like to do is take them home, take the jewels that they put on, because frankly,
right.
this is the one DIY thing that I do, and I bedazzle them myself.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, look at these. Aren't they
great? I actually, when I first saw you, was kind of blinded by the light.
Yeah.
You know, they're just so sparkly.
Yeah.
You might have a future in that.
Hey, listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, well, one day.
And frankly, I got to go to work here in a little bit. I'm sure people from work are listening. So no, not doing flip-flops for a living.
Yeah, nope.
All right, how about colonizing Mars?
I would say birds, if we could sustain. I mean, I'm all about science and, you know, furthering our path there. But I do feel like if we have to make so many accommodations to live somewhere, then we're probably not naturally supposed to be there.
Right.
You know, I think there, it kind of goes back to the point of how many, you know, things can you do to make it work? And then at what point is it not worth the risk, basically? You know, but I'm open for it.
But you're not going to go.
I won't be on the first plane there, but I'll let some other people, you know, try it out and then see what happens.
It's interesting that you think we're going to take a plane there. So that's kind of, maybe I'm not going to ask you anymore.
Well, if we're colonizing, then maybe we'll get that far too. I mean, I really did like that movie with Matt Damon. He was on Mars, right?
Yep. He was totally on Mars.
So that was really interesting to me.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that movie. So maybe, but I don't want to be by myself like he was.
Okay, so we'll make sure to send you with people.
Yes.
There's already going to be people
on that
there.
Plane.
Yeah. Okay. How about the little cookies. I don't know exactly how to pronounce this, but the little Asian cookies, macarons.
Yeah, bees. I'm not a fan of those.
Oh, really?
I don't understand. They're like a waste of calories for me. No.
Really? Are you a dessert person in general?
I am, but okay. I think I have much more of like a American sweet tooth, you know, like when I've gone over to Europe.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like peanut butter fudge it all the way.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have dessert, then I'm going to have dessert. I'm not going to eat like a little crunchy cookie that is green. Because, you know, some of those macaroons are green.
Yeah, they're often
like different colors. There are a lot of weddings.
Flavors.
Yeah. Just give me the cake.
Okay. Very good. Well, speaking of cake, so this is something that I'm fascinated by this story because I was thinking about it a lot. So President Obama and Rahm Emanuel, when he worked there, would joke about what they were going to do after they were done with the White House. And so President Obama's idea was to open a t-shirt shop in Hawaii.
Of course it would be in Hawaii.
Yeah, of course. That's where he's from. That's where he was born.
Right.
And only sell one size and one color. So you don't have to make any decisions. Because, you know, he spent the last 8 years making some
probably every 4 seconds, he's probably making a huge decision.
Huge decisions.
Right.
This was, I think this was another story that came out was about his eating habits in the morning. Breakfast would always be the same. So he wouldn't have to decide what he wanted to eat. And I'm like, oh, that'd be great if I only had like 3 outfits and I just had 8 shirts and 8 pair of pants. And that's all I would wear every day.
Right.
Because it is exhausting.
But no more bedazzled sandals.
No,
just
forget
saying.
It. I'm out. They're right. Out. They're out. So in talking to you and asking you about this, you had a very, you knew exactly what you would do.
I
if
did.
You were retired.
I did.
And so
I would waitress.
Yeah.
You know, I waitressed in college. I waitressed to pay for grad school and I loved it. I loved the energy. And I have to say that I waitressed in breakfast places. And I think that's key to know that it would be waitressing because I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
So I love the mornings and I love that energy in the restaurant in the morning. Just people coming in, getting their coffee, getting started for the day. And then right around the time where people would start to feel kind of that twinge of the day, my workday was over.
You're done.
You know?
You
so
home.
It was great. I love talking with people, meeting new people, the families that would come in. So it was great. I loved it. And it was easy money. I mean, you had to obviously work hard but you got it. You got your rhythm going, you know, you came home with cash. It was great. And you felt like you exercised too. You run around all day.
So you paid your taxes on all that cash.
Right. 110%. Well, my dad's a CPA, weird. So I actually did. But,
okay.
But yeah, it was great. And no take home work.
Well, so that's the
that's
big
a huge
thing.
Part
yeah.
is you left and you were gone
and you were done
and
with
you
it
could just leave work at work and
you weren't
come
thinking
back
about
the
new
next
recipes.
Day.
You weren't thinking about new ways to
absolutely.
Serve
and you actually got to eat decent food too.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you get that discount. So
that's a good
to all the waitresses out there. You're my heroes.
All right. Well, on that note, let's play a song. And this is going to be Folds with This Orient on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. And that's why I make my own pants. Yeah. Oh, hey,
great
we're
story.
Back on the air. Good morning. My name is Nick. This is To a Certain Degree. That was Nico Case with I'm an Animal from Middle Cyclone. And before that, we heard from Foles with This Orient from Total Life Forever on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. My guest today is the indomitable Sarah Donovan. Good morning.
Indomitable. Good morning.
Indomitable.
That's a big word for early in the morning.
For this early. Yeah. Well, I'm prepping you for the next segment.
Ooh.
Which is bad business ideas.
Ooh.
So I'm building you up. I'm putting
right,
you on a pedestal because
right.
this is going to take a lot. So we do this every week. And so my guests, I feel like are successful people
mm-hmm.
and yourself included.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank
so
you.
I have a lot of ideas running around in my head. And so I like to pitch them and see if any of them stick. And if you can help me develop any of them, if you have some additional ideas. And basically, by being on the show, you're obligated to fund whichever one you choose, you feel is the stronger one. I don't know if you realize
yeah.
that.
There is there like a waiver I can sign before we go into this segment?
No.
Or
no, you
full
basically,
steam ahead?
Yeah, it's basically, I kind of outlined it on my website, which is toacertaindegree.com.
Right, and I took that very seriously.
Yeah, so you
I
really
did ask
into it.
If
you
I did really have to financially
yeah,
commit to your bad ideas.
Took me seriously. And as well, you should, because you do. I told you you didn't, but you do. So I've got two ideas for you.
Okay.
And so I'm going to do the first one. We can talk a little bit about it. Do you have any questions? That sort of thing. Do the second one. You choose. Then we'll talk about, we'll go off air and we'll talk about the Kickstarter, how much money you're in for on the initial round mm-hmm. of investment, the venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're also going to be CEO of the new
wow.
organization, because I don't think you should invest money in it blindly.
Wow.
And let me be responsible for that money.
I feel like I'm on a bad episode of Shark Tank.
There's
kind
no
of,
good
right?
episode of Shark Tank, is there? Okay. So yeah, but that's basically it. And you're going to invest. All right. Let's see. So Sarah.
Yes.
There are a lot of consumer movements that get co-opted as marketing ploys, right? Like
mm-hmm.
save for the environment, organic,
gluten-free,
that's a good one, recycled,
right.
the proceeds go into charity, all that stuff. It's a frustrating process to figure out what's fact
Real.
And what's fiction. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'll give you another one. This is from personal experience. I was out doing a staycation with the kids, and I didn't know what a staycation was, so I didn't pack correctly. Because I'm thinking you're staying somewhere, so why do you need a lot of stuff? So I ran out of basically clothes. And so we were out near the outlets, right? So
mm-hmm.
this is very big. So I went into one of the outlets. I'm not going to name names. Let's just say elderly military branch, if
okay.
you know what I mean.
Got it.
Elderly military
sure.
branch. Guess what? Wasn't an outlet. It was just a regular store that said outlet on it. It was very, very disappointing. So the idea here is to create an app. It's called Outwashing. That rates the outlets based on whether or not they're telling the truth. So
oh.
you know whether it's an actual outlet or you're just buying stuff that, you know, you could get at the store
right.
anywhere else. I'm not really sure what defines an outlet exactly. In my head, it's a place where everything is at least 95% off, right? Because it's
very
an outlet.
Very true.
And they always have stuff in my size.
Right.
So that may not be realistic,
right.
but in general, that's the idea of outwashing.
I like it.
Yeah,
I do. And I completely agree. Well, I avoid the outlets because it's crazy town and so packed.
It's super crowded. Yeah.
But I will have to say, when I first moved here and I was very naive to the outlets, I was the same way where I would go in and think, okay, well, everything's going to be 50% off or there's going to be like
right.
a marker on mark on every single pant,
yeah,
but no one's going to be able to see it. And I'm going to pay $5 for
yeah.
it, you know, but then it's true. You go into some of those outlet areas and it's the real stores. It's not truly
it's, yeah.
an outlet because you expect cheaper.
I was so angry.
I really like that.
Okay.
I mean, for outletters nationwide, I feel like you need to do that just for the service for them.
Okay. I like that name better. Actually, outletters.
Outletters.
Yeah.
Because there's people addicted to those outlets.
Right.
So,
I love it. See, this is why
for the outletters out there, there's an app coming.
Yeah, we get well. Hang on, that's idea number one. Cool your jets.
Oh, I'm
there,
sorry.
Sister.
I'm sorry. I forgot there's choices. Got it. Number two. I mean, if number one was that great, I can't wait to hear number two.
Okay. Well, how about art? Do you like art?
I do.
Good. Me too. But when I go to the like groovy local coffee shop or the little art places that have the stuff for sale, I'm a little overwhelmed. You know, you go to the bazaars, you go to this, you go to that. And I usually end up spending way too much because I love it. It's so great. We have crocheted lightsabers and we have a painting, a velvet painting of Chunk from the Goonies. You were talking about 80s movies.
Right.
Earlier.
I love the Goonies. Wait, what do you have from the Goonies?
Chunk. Remember Chunk, the guy? It's a velvet painting of him.
Right over your fireplace mantle.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Right.
Bearskin rug. It's got to be a conversation piece.
It's something. I just need more of it in my life, but I don't know how to get that balance of spending and what I want.
Right.
So what if there was a website? A lot of the ideas are electronic because I feel like storefronts and stuff are, that's like the 2000s.
Right.
Please. This is 2016?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. What if you could go to a website, create a profile of things you like, put in a budget, and then let the artist find you?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's called Brush Up. It has no vowels, so it's just brush up, you know, kind of like Tumblr and all those.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Like Tinder.
Okay.
It's like Tinder for art. So you get right swipe and left swipe, depending on whether
or not
Tinder you like
that
something.
Well, but yeah.
Oh, me neither. Sure. So that's the idea behind it, though, is that you put in, I like 80s movies and music
and
I
all
like
your
this,
likes, and then
like
they
that.
Create
yeah.
art.
And
but
then,
is there that?
There's already art created, right? Like they already specialize.
Oh, you filter.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's called Etsy.
I'm sorry. No, this is different. Because what it's doing, you don't have to go out and find the stuff.
That's true.
This is the stuff is brought to you on a platter and they already knew your budget.
And your budget. I think the key component is budget there. And that's really true. I like that.
So
I think that's a great idea.
I want a painting. I think I like these things and I have $25.
You should
Which
be at Home Goods.
Yeah.
Not online.
Should probably be. Well, you never know.
Right. That's true. There might be some budding artists out there that just want to
make 25
Take
bucks.
A stab at lightsabers and Goonies.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Oh, lightsabers and Goonies. I like it.
Like a battle scene with lightsabers with the ship and Goonies. How cool would that be?
Yeah, I'm in. Okay, so if you could draw that for me, I will give you $25 right now.
Tempting.
Uh-huh.
Tempting. Let me check my calendar.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, okay, great. So you got the two ideas. We got Outletters. Because we changed the name.
Yeah,
nice job on
that. I like that.
And we have Brush Up.
Definitely Outletters.
Outletters. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because, you know, it was the shopping component, I think, is something that you were interested in, which I find interesting.
Right.
Because Brush Up is you don't do any shopping.
Right,
everything's
right.
coming to you.
Right. True.
So.
True.
Yeah. So you're finding where the bargains are.
Right. Well, I think just knowing what's cheaper. Is huge.
Right.
Especially for a mom, quite honestly, because you don't have a lot of time to shop, so you don't have time to mess around.
That's my understanding of moms.
Yeah. We're busy.
Yeah, you guys don't mess around.
Don't fake outlet me.
No. Right. And on that note, let's play a song. This is Rilo Kiley with A Man, Me, Then Jim on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. Winter Park, Florida. This is To a Certain Degree. And my name is Nick. We're here every week from 7 to 9. I'm here with a guest. My guest this week is Sarah Donovan.
Very honored to be here.
Oh, thank you for being here. All right, let's not dislocate our arms patting on the back there. Had a call from Zach just a second ago, so we did bad business ideas last segment. And Zach sometimes has better ideas than me when it comes to the naming of some of these ideas. So he had a great idea. So we were talking about Outletters, which is an app or some other way to tell if an outlet is really an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It's important in Florida since we have 8 gazillion of them. And Zach came up with a great idea. It's called Outliers.
I love it. You might have a future business partner out there. I mean, I might have to step down from CEO and let Zach take the lead.
Zach is doing all our strategic marketing.
Perfect.
All right. So he just got hired. You're going to have to figure out how to pay
him. Are you
him.
Listening, Zach? Because...
Yeah, you're stuck.
The paycheck's coming.
it's right in the mail.
Be looking out for that.
Don't bother giving us your address. So one of the things I wanted, so Sarah's here. You're a teacher. You're an administrator. You've worked on both the public and private side.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about music. So, you know,
Love
obviously
music.
We're on our radio station here. And music for me is an important part of the working process, right? Or like even just to, if I'm driving home and I want to decompress a little bit, I'll listen to some specific things. So we're talking a little bit about music in the break. What is it, or where do you use music, you think, like in a strategic way?
I think in my role, you know, music, tapping into students' interest through music can be huge. You know, I'm in a faith-based world, and so especially, you know, we have chapel, we have worship, and music is a huge part of that. On the first day of school, we had a little acoustic guitar playing going on to welcome our classical school students to school. And so I think anywhere you can plug in music, it just makes everything better. It never, I feel like as long as it's the right music choice, makes anything worse.
Well, yeah.
So you can, you know, never go wrong tapping into music. I oversee a preschool. So if you walk the preschool halls, it's music all day long, you know, clapping, snapping, jiggling. We music it up in the preschool for sure. And then nap time, we've got the classics going on, not the classics, but classical.
Classical music, not
music
classic
going
rock.
On. And so I think using it to spark interest with students, to make their day better. I actually share an office with a huge music fan, one of my principals. He has music constantly going on. And it's always interesting to see what he's chosen for that day. Sometimes it's Christmas in July, and that's okay, you know, just to change things up a little bit. But I think it just makes the atmosphere more enjoyable as well. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it's all around. Music is all around.
All right. So when you're working, let me talk about that specifically.
Sure.
Let's say you're coming up with a lesson plan or you're focused on homework.
Right.
Grading homework back in the day, which you probably don't do much of now. But what kind of music did you have on in the background?
You know, I'm kind of corny, but I love classical music. And so I love George Winston. And there's not a lot of people who know George Winston, but he's a piano artist. And I loved having him in the background. It was just calm, easy, and it's seasonal. And I'm such a seasonal music listener. And so he has music catered to certain times during the year. And I would just put on Pandora, put on the season that I wanted to listen to, and just let it ride out. I'm not a big listener to music with words when I'm trying to focus.
Right. Yeah.
I'm definitely one of those people, like, I can't believe some people who can get the things that they get done, like jamming out, you know, because I'm just not one of those people. I like the calm, classical, you know, girly approach, I guess. To
I don't think that's necessarily a
not girly.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Because I think there's sometimes when having words in the songs. So I'll listen to a lot of jazz, for example. So having words in the songs, is distracting, unless you've heard the song a million
times. And it's just like white noise. It has to be white noise for me to be able to get things done with music in the background.
So yeah, it's taking up that part of your brain that needs that, so you can focus on this other thing.
Exactly.
But I have a couple of playlists that I think I've been listening to forever, and so I know if I need an hour's worth of work, I can just kind of scroll through that. It doesn't matter that they have words on it, because I've heard it every, like, you know, a million times.
Right.
So it doesn't distract me anymore.
That makes sense.
I've totally interpreted the song however I want, because that's the wonderful thing about songs, is that there's any number of interpretations.
And
you can do that. I used to think there was one interpretation, and then I realized that people are different.
And
the music helped me realize that.
The time of life, too. I think when you, like, first heard the song, I love the nostalgia behind music. I think that's the best part about,
I do,
you know,
too. See, what I get hung up on, and I have these arguments, and I always talk about 80s nostalgia, right? Like 80s for some people was the best time ever. It was the best music, it was the best movies, it was the best this, it was the best that.
Best Hairspray.
Oh, for sure. For sure. The thing I get hung up on is you get so caught in the nostalgia that you close yourself off from anything new, that there's no potential for anything ever being as good. And I had this conversation with somebody. It was, I can't remember the name of the band, but the song OPP.
And then
we were talking about it in the context, because that song Who Let the Dogs Out came out, and I was like, they're the same song. They're identical songs. They're just different times in your life. Now you feel like you're older, you're more sophisticated, so you're not gonna like Who Let the Dogs Out,
but you loved OPP
kid, and it's, you know,
you jumped up and down the whole time.
Exactly No, that was way better song. It's got this, that, and the other thing.
That's so true. I definitely can see that.
So don't close yourself off because of nostalgia. So
I will keep that in mind.
I think I take that to the
other
extreme.
That could be a bumper sticker.
Where I just burn everything down. Like, I will, it's the past. Look at all these old buildings. Let's burn them down and start over. So I may be a little bit extreme in that sense.
Yeah, I'm jaded a little bit.
The scorched earth policy is not a good one.
Yeah, no.
For that sort of thing.
No, thank you.
Yeah. All right, so that's music. Let's play a little bit more music. We're almost done.
I know, it's gone so fast. Yeah. I have to go to work.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So do I. And we'll start looking, as Zach just reminded me, we'll start looking for an app developer for Outliers.
Perfect. Because
we got to do that. That's work now for you.
I know.
You're not going to work work. You're going
Better
to
add
work.
That to the top of my to-do list.
Yeah. We're going to hear from Aqualung. This is Easier to Lie on WPRK Winter Park, Florida. We're almost done here with Sarah Donovan. Sarah, thank you again for being on
thank
the show
you.
Today.
It's been so fun. It's gone so fast.
Right? It's the opposite of dealing with me anywhere else.
Yeah. Maybe that's been so fun. We're in more of an informal setting.
So, speaking of formal settings, which mm-hmm. We were talking about informal settings. Just want to talk to you a little bit before we have to go. So we only got a couple minutes. Talk to you about college. Mm-hmm. Something both you and I feel is important if it's the right thing for someone.
Sure.
So you went and got a lot of it.
I did
a ton. So you started out at Penn State.
I did
your bachelor's degree in elementary ed, right?
Mm-hmm. And in multicultural settings. So I went abroad, which gave me little multicultural settings.
Oh, you taught in the UK, right?
Yes.
Nice.
I did. I taught kindergarten over there.
And so then you came down here to Orlando so you could go to UCF for one of your two master's degrees.
Correct.
So you're one of the few people, I think the last stat I saw was 27% of people actually stay in the industry they got their degree in,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty low.
It is.
Surprisingly, but I guess not surprisingly, because I think that people tend to shift. I think a lot of degrees are out there. So mm-hmm. you get, we could argue whether a philosophy degree is useful or not useful, but frankly, there's not too many philosophers out there. So chances are you're going to go ahead and switch out and do something else if you have a
go to law school.
Yeah. Yeah, potentially. So I think that you're one of the few. So what advice would you have for people who are looking at college now? And so one of the things that's become big, it was always big in, say, IT or computer science or things like that, about credentialing instead of necessarily getting, say, a master's degree.
Right. I think just like anything else, do your research and talk to people who are currently in the field and find out what was, first of all, the most helpful for them when they started their job, what they wish maybe they had done differently. And I would say that if you're still in high school looking ahead to college, get as much experience as possible. You know, knock on doors and get internships, whether they're paid or unpaid. You know, I'm a huge supporter of my students. I oversee a hybrid homeschool program and they're not on campus Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so we really support those endeavors to get out there and try things and see if it's something you want to invest 4 years in and maybe $100,000 in the process. You know, I switched my major from pre-med to education. And maybe if I had spent some more time in hospitals, I don't know, maybe I would have gone into education sooner, right? Or stayed, you know. But I think just getting as much experience and researching and talking to people love to talk about what they do. You just got to give them the time to ask them, take them out for coffee and say, hey, I'm thinking about going to this career, what insight can you give me? And talk to people who are in it now and living the realities now. I think if it's a career path that credentialing makes sense for, then do the credentialing. If it's a career path where you're gonna have to get a master's to move forward, like I could not have been a principal without a master's. That's just the reality of it.
Right.
You know, like just like I don't want my surgeon to have not gone to med school. So what
is that something you should look for?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I
you might
want
to click that when you do the search.
Yeah.
Graduated.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
But I think it's smart to talk to people who are in the field and they're living and breathing it every day. So how did they get there and what did they need to get there and did it help?
So that's an interesting point. We talked about digital storytelling as an important component for kids to learn because that's something they're going to have to do and have to deal mm-hmm. with and have to, you know, sort of filter through. Another one is networking.
Yes.
You know, something that they may not be that great at, but that's what we're talking about here is mm-hmm. that you have to go out there and not only ask people, you know, what do you do and see if you're interested in it, but get to know those people because those might be your contacts in the future.
I think finding informal,
Settings or?
No, mentors. I'm sorry. Informal mentors is huge. and finding those people that you can plug into that you kind of stay in touch with, you know, once in a while. That's how I'm in my position, is I had kind of an informal mentor that we just stayed in touch, and she took a shift into the private world, and I just asked her questions about it and learned more. Yeah. And then I took the leap, you know, and so let them be the guinea pigs, and then let them know, you know, how it goes.
Get your own board of advisors.
Exactly.
Like the one you're going to do for that company you're starting.
Exactly.
Now. Very good.
Zach and I.